This is Focus West Michigan for Monday, July 6, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Grand Rapids John Ball Zoo will not receive funding in next year's state budget to help fund a proposed aquarium, WGVU's Steve Morrison reports.
Senate Majority Leader Winnie Brinks proposed the $30 million earmark to help fund the zoo project, but the line item was cut during late-night compromises before the final budget deal. The Grand Rapids Democrat wrote in her formal request that the aquarium will be a national-level attraction, with an approximate cost of $450 million, bringing in more than 1 million visitors per year, 65% from outside of Michigan. Brinks hoped the state funding would leverage more than $100 million in philanthropic donations. The project is expected to have a $3.4 billion economic impact over 10 years, with new state tax dollars and thousands of jobs both ongoing and during construction. Despite the state budget setback, city leaders are pushing forward with a millage on the November ballot to raise funds for the project over the next 10 years and are considering alternative funding sources. John Ball Zoo board members continue to search for an appropriate site for the aquarium with a goal of opening in 2031. I'm Dee Morrison.
An agreement between the developers of Muskegon's $85 million mixed-use marina project and its lenders has been reached. As WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us, the agreement allows the development to continue through the end of the year.
Adelaide Point developers Ryan and Emily Liestma, along with five entities they manage, negotiated a settlement agreement with their lenders, court-appointed receiver, and state and local officials. The agreement allows for the reorganization of the five entities and the completion of the bankruptcy process. In September 2025, Independent Bank sued Ryan Liestma for defaulting on a $30 million loan. Liestma then filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy on April 1st, 2 months after a judge appointed a receiver for the development. Under the terms of the agreement, the Liestmas would release all claims against their lenders and court-appointed receiver, John Polderman. Polderman would become chief restructuring officer for the five Chapter 11 bankruptcy cases. The Michigan Department of Environment, Great Lakes and Energy, and the State Attorney General would also not enforce environmental matters regarding the project for 120 days. In a statement, Ryan Liestma said, quote, "The project has a tremendous amount of current and future value and has been growing in occupancy and revenue every single year. This gives us the time to finish building what we started," end quote. The reorganization and exit from bankruptcy are expected to take between 4 to 6 months. I'm David Limbaugh.
Michigan's conservation leaders are pleased with their portion of the new state budget. As WGVU's Dee Morrison reports, wetlands funding doubled.
Michigan's fiscal year 2027 budget includes $2 million for the Department of Natural Resources to acquire and conserve wetlands across the state. Leaders of Audubon Great Lakes say that's a $1 million increase from last year and a critical investment in the health of birds across Michigan. Funding fell short of the historic $3 million budgeted in fiscal year 2025, but environmental leaders are pleased wetland conservation remains a priority for lawmakers. They say Michigan has lost 50% of its historic wetlands, and the black tern, a species that depends on wetland habitat, has lost nearly 99% of its population since 1966. It was added to the state threatened and endangered species list in 2024. Environmental leaders say wetland conservation also addresses the growing issue of flooding, as wetlands provide a natural defense by absorbing and holding floodwater, releasing it slowly back into the environment when conditions improve. I'm Dee Morrison.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Shelley Irwin gets the latest on the Grand River Restoration Project, but first, news from around the state. The legislature met through the night to finalize the new state budget last week, missing the legal deadline by 2 days. We have more from Rick Bluta.
Michigan's scofflaw legislature blew past the deadline set in statute, but got itself back on track by adopting a balanced budget and sending it to Governor Gretchen Whitmer's desk. The early morning votes came late for school districts, public universities, community colleges, and many local governments with fiscal years that began Wednesday without word on state funding. Republican House Speaker Matt Hall says the delay was worth it.
But I would have went another month if I had to get a good outcomes for the people of Michigan, but fortunately I didn't. I only had to go a couple extra days.
This is the second year in a row the legislature's missed the deadline, which carries no legal penalty. I'm Rick Pluta at the state capitol.
Michigan lawmakers say their new state budget doesn't cut services, raise taxes, or pull from the rainy day fund. Colin Jackson has more.
Democratic Senate Appropriations Chair Sarah Anthony says a billion-dollar deficit made this year tough, but creativity got lawmakers through.
We found lots of reductions and efficiencies to address some of those shortfalls that were in the budget. And so ultimately, folks won't see interruptions in their benefits.
But Republican Senator Jim Runstedt derided the process because most lawmakers didn't get to see the final budget versions until they became public in the early hours of Friday morning, not long before voting.
This process is absolutely horrendous. This is what I hope we were not going to be doing again.
Still, the budget bills passed with wide bipartisan support. I'm Colin Jackson in Lansing.
Congresswoman Haley Stevens says she looks forward to working with State Senator Mallory McMorrow in the future after the latter suspended her campaign for U.S. Senate. Stevens says she's the strongest candidate to defeat Republican Mike Rogers in the general election. Abdul El-Sayed makes a similar claim.
I want you to think that there's a choice between fighting for the things you need and deserve or being able to beat Mike Rogers and Donald Trump. Poll after poll has shown that I'm the strongest candidate to take on Mike Rogers, and that's because I'm actually fighting for the things that people need and deserve.
A recent poll by Zenith Research shows both El-Sayed and Stevens beating Rogers in the general election. Michigan Attorney General Dana Nessel endorsed Stevens on Sunday. Focus West Michigan is brought to you by listeners like you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. The Grand River Restoration Project is underway, and WGVU Shelley Irwin spoke with Matt Chapman about what we can expect moving forward.
Grand River Restoration has entered the river. July 1, a big day for Matt Chapman and his team as Grand River Rapids Whitewater Executive Director. Be careful what you wish for. Here it comes. Matt, good morning.
Good morning, Shelley. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you. And, this headline does move us forward with, obviously, a project that's been in the waiting for a bit. Catch us up to what's happening, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. Last week was a really exciting time. After almost 18 years of design and engineering and a whole lot of permitting, we finally were able to drive the construction equipment into the river to remove the first of the four dams and start to restore the rapids. So it was really exciting last week to see that equipment go in the river, and just a ton of thanks to all of our partners at the City of Grand Rapids and our local philanthropic partners and everybody in the community that supported this idea of restoring the city's namesake rapids.
And let's stay with that big picture, Matt. I know you've been involved, and now as the executive director, falling on your shoulders. What's the big dream here?
You know, the biggest thing is to try to activate the river, get more people into the river to use it, to really just make the river the heart of our city. Grand Rapids was named that way for a reason, and as you know, so many people come to the city and say, well, where are the rapids? So the first phase of construction that we started last week that will last for roughly this summer and then all of next summer, will remove the four smaller dams between Bridge Street, just upstream of Bridge Street, down to Fulton Street, and we'll construct a series of boulder features that are designed to mimic natural rapid feature, natural riverine features that are found in other parts of the state. So this is just the first phase of the vision. The second phase would be the potential removal of the 6th Street Dam and the construction of a new lamprey barrier to stop the spread of invasive sea lamprey upstream. And that would actually restore kind of the historic bedrock rapids that Grand Rapids was likely named after in the early 1800s. So a really big vision, a lot of work, a lot of time. This is just the first start of the construction, but there's more design and engineering and permitting to go.
Does that worry you when we say permitting from experience in the past?
Well, one of the things that we're trying to do is learn from the past, right? And obviously this is anytime you do an environmental project like this in a river or a lake or stream, it's very complex. The fact that this was done in the heart of an urban city where we have flood walls and infrastructure, bridge piers, things like that, makes it very challenging. But we've learned a ton over the last really 15, 16 years. So we are taking what we've learned from this kind of lower reach that we're constructing now and working on that with several partners. So this is not, the upper reach will not be just City of Grand Rapids and Grand Rapids Whitewater, but we're actually working with the Great Lakes Fisheries Commission, which is a bi-national agency that incorporates members of Canadian Fish and Oceans, and then as well as other state and federal agencies. So we're taking what we've learned in the lower reach and trying to apply that to the upper reach, and just really continuing the momentum that we have. And again, getting in the river this last week was just a huge milestone after years of work. So we hope to see that kind of continue, and we just keep on moving out there.
Yes, that's what we do, keep on moving. Matt Chapman with us again, Executive Director of Grand Rapids Whitewater. Tell me more. This, you somewhat mentioned this, it was quoted by your river restoration project manager. Is this about strengthening the connection between our community and our river that runs through it?
Absolutely. So, you know, when this idea first started, it was really this idea of, you know, how do we take the dams out of the river and create more recreational opportunities? And Grand Rapids Whitewater really kind of led with that recreation vision. Excuse me. But the more we studied the river, the more we learned about the invasive species, the federally endangered mussel species. We have several species of state threatened fish like the lake sturgeon that have cultural significance. The project really evolved to be kind of this holistic river restoration. So the idea of restoring the river, the ecology, but that leads to more of the investments in the river corridor. 10 years ago, when I started with Grand Rapids Whitewater, there was this idea that the restoration of the river would be a catalyst for the redevelopment of the river corridor, but we really didn't know what that meant. And, you know, now, of course, we can sit here today and we see the amphitheater and the Grand Rapids Public Museum and the soccer stadium and several other projects that are really starting to incorporate the river, and the river is truly becoming a community asset. So as we look to the future, I think this is going to be just the beginning. You know, we hope to see a lot more programming events along the river, more people in the river. And then really we're eager to see how the river responds and, you know, what the ecology does. And we hope to see an even better fishery, more habitat for fish and mussels, things like that. So it's a really substantial project.
Waiting to see when we, yes, can get in that river. What do you need from the community, Matt?
Right now, you know, we just encourage people to come out and take a look at it. There's great viewing from the construction from all of the local bridges. We are just asking that Annapolis Park is closed to the public, will be closed for the duration of construction. So respect the construction boundaries. The river is still open. But again, if anybody is going to be fishing or wading or canoeing or kayaking in the river, we just ask that you give the construction crews plenty of room to work safely. There will be a lot of equipment and rocks and boulders and trucks and things like that coming in. But please come out and enjoy it. You can check the City of Grand Rapids website. They will have a link to a project page that will be offering kind of weekly and monthly project updates. And we're happy to share what's going on with the community.
Sharing is good. Matt Chapman, thank you very much for you. And we'll, as they say, keep in touch. Take care.
Yeah, thanks, Shelley.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Monday, July 6, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan tomorrow. Thanks for listening.